So, okay, I think we're going to go ahead and get started. I do know some other folks may be joining us. So again, do want to say thank you very much for joining us this week for the Tallahassee Tourism Industry, the weekly Zoom meeting. So again, thank you so much for being with us. It's great to see you. Again, just a bit of housekeeping. I think as everybody knows on these calls, to please mute your microphone. That's in the lower left with so many folks in the meeting. It's imperative that everyone do. So again, please mute your microphone. It's in the lower left. And then unmute when you wish to speak. Again, really do appreciate you all being with us again today because as a community and as an industry, we know we are all in this forum together, albeit we may be in different boats and different ships. But we are in this storm together and we will get through it together. And ultimately, I know, be a much stronger destination. But until then, we're very much in the process of phase two of safely reopening our businesses and our community. As we know, COVID-19 is a continually evolving situation on the national, state, and certainly here on the local level. In Florida, there are now more than 56,000 cases that added nearly 4,000 since last week. But I'm also happy to report in our community, there are a total of 418 COVID-19 cases. That is up by 34, but however, that number is trending down from last week. So again, we here in Leon County are moving in the right direction. Over 19,000 people have been tested here in Leon County, and we have a positivity rate of 2.3, and that's 2.3 per 100,000 people, and that is significantly lower than, I mean, greatly lower than other counties in Florida and Georgia. So the number of documented new cases and positivity rate here in Leon County is decreasing. Again, the documented cases, positivity rate is decreasing. So that's great news. However, the weekly emergency room visits with influenza-like illnesses and the weekly emergency room visits with the COVID-19-like illnesses, I'm not sure how they distinguish them, But those are increasing. So we are seeing increasing emergency room visits. Again, so keep an eye on that. So again, probably like so many of you now switching gears, we surely hope we've eliminated any rain deficit in our area with as much rain as we've had, certainly from Tropical Storm Cristobal. And then some, but we surely need some sunshine. I think you all would agree. And Governor DeSantis in Leon County announced phase two of the Safe Smart step-by-step plan last Friday, June 5th. And I do hear from short-term rentals, as you know, as part of the phase two, short-term rentals were allowed to begin operating again. And I have heard from several of them, and they are reporting that reservations are coming in very swift and plentiful. So I hope that's an indication, too, that maybe our hotels are seeing some uptick, too, because, like I said, I was immediately they started getting some. So I was happy to hear that. Shifting gears, as we know, the protests continue in our country and certainly in our community, of course, all while the COVID pandemic is going on. It's been a number of days, probably 11, 12 days of peaceful protests in our community. And as I shared last week, we know that these peaceful protests are really about equity and justice and equality. And I am certain that county and city leaders and the citizens of this community recognize the pain and the purpose of these protests. And we all understand that this is a real opportunity for change. And certainly, as other protests have demonstrated in history, but we know Black Lives Matter, and all of us must stand against discrimination and injustice wherever it exists. So, again, I just want to take a moment on the call to say that, you know, let's do our part because the change must come. And we're, again, we're all in this together. So let's do our part to stand against discrimination and injustice wherever it may exist. I also would like to take a moment to recognize and mourn the loss of a great Florida leader, Senator Gwen Margolis of Miami Beach. I had the pleasure of working with her when I was at Visit Florida many moons ago. She was such a champion in the Senate for tourism. She was also the first woman Senate president that the state has ever had. She was also the first Senate president in the country as a female, as a woman. So again, she's got a real leader, and she was a huge champion for Florida tourism. She'd certainly been out of the legislative arena for several years, but she was quite the force and a wonderful lady. And I am honored to have had the opportunity to work with her again when I was at Visit Florida. So I just want to share, and I think for us as an industry, to be grateful for her leadership and for her service to the state of Florida and the tourism industry. She was very involved and very on the board of Visit Florida Board of Directors for a number of years. Again, we believe the state lost a great leader. So as we know, in this pandemic, we are all learning every week. And with these industry meetings, they are designed to provide a platform to share learning, to share knowledge, and support each other in our community. Every week, we have several outstanding guest speakers with us this morning. And then we are going to open up the meeting to hear from you. And this morning, I do have a couple of questions to ask the industry members on the call. That'll be towards the end of the call. Again, we are going to hear from some great guest speakers, and then before I turn it over to you all, I do want to ask the industry a couple of questions. So first on deck this morning will be Matt. Very, very excited to have him with us today. He is the assistant to the county administrator, community and media relations and community resilience. Big, big job. So we're going to hear from him first. Then we're going to hear from Ricky Bell with Leon County Schools. And then and last, but certainly not least, we're going to hear from Laura Johnson and Robin Jackson from Southern Shakespeare on ways they've had to adapt and some of the really cool programming they've got going on. So we're going to start off with Matt Cabell, then turn it over to Ricky, and then Laura and Robin. So with that, Matt, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate you being with us.
Well, great, Carrie. Thank you very much for that introduction. So I hope I can live up to the great tag here in the next few minutes. So for the hospitality partners that are on the call, what I'm going to share about today is about not only the county's efforts in public information and emergency management to date, real briefly, just an overview, but also our It's Not Too Much to Mask public information campaign, which encourages public mask use in spaces that you can't physically distance. So we'll be talking about that in just a bit, but I wanted to first thank Carrie and her team for as creative as they've had to have been with Zoom calls and efforts and coordinating with industry partners during what's a cliche statement, but there's no more apt statement than unprecedented times. So again, big thanks to you, Carrie, Katie, Scott, Deontay, everyone that's on the call. Thank you again for all the efforts to date. And to the partners that are on the call, again, thank you as well in finding ways to be innovative and creative during these difficult times. That pretty much covers what we do at the county as well. I'm going to try to share a screen with you in just a second, so which is always fun and exciting and may or may not work. But one of the things that I'd like to do is cover that us at the county, we have combined since Hurricane Hermine, we've combined public information and emergency management as an office together, because there's no one during any disaster who has ever said that they've been communicated with too much before they decided to shelter or avoid a storm, or they've been communicated with too much during a global pandemic. So by combining those just a few years ago, the functions of emergency management and public information, of which I drew the short straw and got both those places under me, then there's no better effort than to do that during a global pandemic, during civil unrest and protests, and also during a recent tornado we had 6 weeks ago. So to top that all off, we've been busy on a couple different fronts. But I want to share what that means for COVID-19 specifically. So let me just bring up a slide here, hopefully. Good enough. All right. So in our world, I just want to, we've been activated in emergency management for 92 consecutive days. Now, that doesn't mean that we're there in the emergency operations center each hour of each day, but what it does mean is that our folks are constantly expected to be available from both public information and emergency management. And in addition to that, we've now communicated 13.5 million times of public health messaging, read, seen, or heard. And in emergency management, we've distributed 600,000 pieces of PPE. All of that is to say that we've done this with 4,300 diverse community and public safety partners, which includes the folks on this call, but public health experts, long-term care facilities, and all of that effort broadly. Now, all of that together means that we know that public information and campaigns to affect behavior change can't be any more important than now. So one of the things that we had done early in the pandemic on April 3rd, when the CDC changed its guidance about using public health, public-based coverings, is we immediately started communicating the recommendation. Over time, we've seen public mask use go up, but we've also seen public mask use and behavior cement itself along very particular ideological lines. And so what we're trying to do is to continue to support mask use. And we've done that with a campaign that we launched yesterday, which has become actually very successful in just that one day, which is It's Not Too Much to Mask campaign, which is really just to say that it's not too much to ask for our community to wear masks to protect elderly, vulnerable populations, and each other. There are some obviously scientific studies about the process of droplets and how masks can help with that, but there was also recently a study, and you got to dig in a little bit more on it, just it was a contact tracing experience at a barber shop where a person was wearing a mask but had been COVID-19 positive and had interacted with many different clients, and they did contact tracing for all those folks that that barber had interacted with over the course of several days, and it found that there was no COVID-19 positive transmission to the people that he had worked with in his environment. So that goes to a credit of how much a mask can likely help you and how much it is not too much to ask to wear a mask in public facilities or in public spaces where you can't otherwise physically distance. So just so you guys know, in our world in county government, we're recommending that folks wear masks whenever they go into a county facility, and that we're also requiring that the public must wear masks in situations where we cannot physically distance. So if there's any situation where we're at permitting and we have to go into a room to look at plans for review, or a librarian has to work closely with someone in an environment about a tech issue, then in that case, all public folks must wear masks. And we're providing disposable masks to people that are medical grade, not N95s, but for folks in libraries or any other county facility. So our big point here is just to say that during the pandemic, we all have a role when it comes to public information, most especially the public information experts on this call and the industry partners, because of the reach that you have, to encourage behavior change. Not often is there a disaster activation like a pandemic where public information can truly keep people safe. For instance, with a storm, it's coming and it's going to go through the community one way or the other. And we can ask that you shelter in place or you seek risk shelters. But for the most part, affecting behavior change for this pandemic has led to significant lives saved. And it will continue to do that as we safely reopen, but with behavior changes such as wearing masks in every setting that we think it's safe and recommended to do so. So anyway, I just wanted to highlight some of those efforts that we're doing here at the county and then to invite industry partners to participate in that It's Not Too Much to Mask campaign. You can do that by using the hashtag MaskOnLeon, or you can, and I'll provide some more details to Carrie and her team so she can share with everyone on this call right now. You can also share a masked selfie with us and explain why us at the county, why you wear a mask and for whom you wear that mask. And that way we can try to make this effort not really just about some public health experts on high that you don't know saying things about why it's recommended, but rather to get personal and to invest. Yeah, I see Ricky doing it right now. There you go. Okay. So Ricky's going to send a selfie over later, and he's going to explain for whom and why, and then that'll be the next big post. So anyway, it's simple to do, but we're trying to make it personal. We're trying to affect behavior change. And again, I can't overstate the role of public information in the role that it serves in this pandemic. It's really one of those unique times that behavior change and public information genuinely saves lives. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Carrie, but happy to answer any questions and happy to answer broad questions about emergency management and public information, activations, or in specific to the campaign.
Great. Thank you, Matt. If anyone might unmute their line and have any questions for Matt, he's being very understated. He's got so much on his plate and really do appreciate all that he's done here and certainly all that the community and media relations does with this campaign. It's not too much to mask. I think it's fabulous. Does anyone have any questions for Matt? Okay, well, hearing none, again, thank you. I know a number of the tourism team members have certainly sent selfies with our masks. And again, I want to thank you and all you and your team does. We're hoping to get Kevin Peters here on a call. And it's hurricane season, holy cow. But again, it really made so much sense to combine and put the emergency management with communications. And again, that team has done just an awesome job, Matt, under your leadership. So thank you so much for being with us today. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, Carrie. Appreciate it.
Great, thanks. And next up, we will hear from Ricky Bell, certainly a longstanding partner of ours and works very, very closely with our sports and sales team. Ricky is the Director of Student Activities with Leon County Schools. So again, a great partner with us. Thank you so much for joining us on the call this morning. Oh, I think you're muted, Ricky. I see you're talking. We still can't hear you. Oh. You check the on to see if it's on the Ricky, we still can't hear you.
He's unmuted.
Okay, he's unmuted.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Ricky, we still can't hear you. Oh, no. Amanda, you want to see if maybe you can. It looks like he's unmuted, but we still can't hear him.
I'm thinking it's the volume maybe on your computer. It's not recognizing your voice.
You want to see if maybe you can hop on a call with him?
Sure, I'll call him real quick.
See, and then in the meantime, we'll toggle over to Southern Shakespeare.
Perfect. Is that right? Yep, I'll call him right now.
Great. Thank you, Amanda.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we can hear you.
Thank you, Carrie. And I'm going to say thank you again to Terry, Katie, Amanda, Renee, Deontay, Scott, all the team at Visit Tallahassee for the tremendous support that Southern Shakespeare has received as an emerging signature event and as a cultural tourism partner. Honestly, has meant so much to our continued growth and success. And thank you for the opportunity to talk today to all of you here. Obviously, we want to speak to how we've adapted as an organization, but there are some here that are not as familiar with Southern Shakespeare, so I just want to give a quick overview of who we are. Many of us know us for our Free Shakespeare in the Park event at Cascade Park that follows Mother's Day weekend. Historically, we had performed at Clayman Plaza, and many remember the festival in that space. But since Cascade Park opened in 2015, we have performed there along with our junior company on the Capital City Amphitheater stage at Cascades Park. We grow our celebrity of visiting artists every year, and as a result have simultaneously grown our audiences. This year, we were expected to have 10,000 folks out to see Kevin McDonald best known for Kids in the Hall and that 70s show, performing in our production of 12th Night. However, we also have an ever-expanding education program led by Robin Jackson, who's here on the call with us. Hi, Robin. And he'll be speaking shortly here as well. But the education program is the other arm. So we have our festival, we have our education program that serves Leon County and the surrounding counties as well. We have a junior company known as the Bardlings, and we have our touring productions as part of the education programs. And as part of that, we have a program known as Town Divided, that is an adaptation loosely based on Romeo and Juliet that takes stories from our Tallahassee residents and really stimulates from the production conversation and dialogue about the racial divide in our own community. And never has there been a more timely production than that in light of recent current events. So we're hoping to continue programming like that. But what has the COVID crisis meant to us? Obviously, this year it's meant the cancellation of our Free Shakespeare in the Park Festival. Everything came to a screeching halt. We were about a little over a month out from the event. We had the production in full swing. We had sets and costumes being built, visiting artists and staff here working to see the festival realized. And of course, this had a hugely devastating effect on revenue for us. So much of our sponsorships and membership revenue is tied to our festival because it's the biggest and most recognizable event that we have given the sheer numbers of attendees and brings in the dollars that really helps to support our staff and other productions and programming year round. And so that loss of revenue was devastating and continues to have a rippling effect. We did apply for loans, including the Office of Economic Vitality, the lien loan, PPPs. We've applied for those and sought out grant funds that we haven't in the past because we know that there's going to be a shortage of funds both in the short term and in the long term. But to steal a line from our friends at Making Life Productions, if anybody is here, I'm stealing your line. The show must go online. And Lewis Netter, it was so clever, has recently highlighted how art matters more than ever during the COVID-19 crisis in isolation. The arts have really become more central to our lives as part of our own well-being and in the confinement for those who have been locked in our homes. So how have we adapted to continue to serve our community? Well, in an effort to provide our school programs, our education staff, Robin Jackson and Beyonce Montague, quickly regrouped and really added to their roles as educators and directors to develop and market our Shakespeare in Quarantine event. And this offered students and teachers access to our blog from the Bard series, our community read-along, and the home performance series and our sonnet contest as well that typically goes and feeds into our festival. We were able to extend the deadline and then invite more participants, the students and the community, to be involved in that event. Our junior company, who had been working to rehearse for their festival production, Taming the Shrew, shifted to online rehearsals and meetings and ultimately created and filmed their own at-home final scenes, which were cut and edited into a final showcase, which I have to say was absolutely fabulous. We've also found really unique ways to stay connected to our online community of supporters. Both Bianca and Robin have worked to expand our social media content and find new platforms like TikTok. We are on TikTok now. You can find Sonnet Shakespeare. Never thought that we'd be on TikTok, and here we are. But we've also had fundraising events with community partners as well. One was for the Giving Back Tuesday that we had a fundraising event for our first responders. We've also had our own fundraising event and created t-shirts that take a line from Macbeth's Three Witches, When Shall We Three Meet Again? We created shirts that say, When Shall We Three Zoom Again? And you all can find it on our website at southernshake.org for $20.20. And we invite you to go out and check those out. They're fabulous t-shirts. I can't also say enough, honestly. I mean, it's where we find that there's strength in the partners, and that we really, that's where we derive all of the strength and expansion of our own outreach is through our community partners and our grant sponsors. And I can't say enough about TOCA, who's just been such an exceptional partner and true champion for the arts throughout all of this and for all the arts organizations as we have sought to regroup and redirect our creative energies. If Kathleen is here, just I want to give a shout out and say thank you, and Erica, and I don't know who else might be here from TOCA, but to all of the local government grant supporters who really have also gone beyond just providing the dollars, but are there as true partners to assist and guide us through this really difficult process. But we have three very exciting events on the way that I also just want to quickly give a shout out to and invite Robin to talk about two of those. As again, we've looked to adapt to the online, virtual world. And Robin, if you would love to be able to say a few words about that, and then I can close it out.
Sure. Thank you, Laura. And thank you so much for having us here. It's my first industry call, so I'm very excited. yes, our whole company, you know, our career, our way of educating has completely shifted. But we are taking it with both hands and really enjoying the journey. So we have two programs coming up this summer for our local youth that I'm really excited about. As Laura mentioned, we did a Bardlings, our junior company. We had a quarantine showcase, we called it. They rehearsed with us over Zoom, and then they filmed themselves doing monologues from different Shakespearean plays. And we produced a professional video of all of their monologues together, which was just a really exciting project for all the students, kind of keeping their creativity alive. So on that note, we are beginning our Bardlings 2020 summer intensives in a couple weeks, open to middle and high school students. And this one's gonna be a little different. We are challenging them to choose one scene from a Shakespeare play, and they have to play every single role in that scene. So from the safety of their homes, they get to pick, you know, I mean, they could even do Romeo and Juliet balcony if they wanted, right? And they will play Romeo and Juliet with different editing and helping them through that process, filming themselves. So it's completely different than stage. It's a completely new form of our company, but we are just really excited about all of it. The second program this summer that we are launching is called the Tallahassee Summer Arts Project. And this one is really close to our hearts because it's all about community. And that is something that we feel strongly about. I grew up in Tallahassee. I performed at the Shakespeare Festival in Clayman Plaza as a kid. And so bringing it full circle, this project is about our partnerships. So we are happy to partner with Making Light Productions and Tallahassee Community College Dance Company. So the three companies together will unite to present this arts project. It's a week long, again, over Zoom for 9 to 13-year-olds. And each day they get two workshops in a different art form. So one day will be arts and crafts and hip hop. The next day will be Shakespeare, intro to Shakespeare and movement for actors. So it's a short program, 1 week long, really highlighting to unite our local arts community and provide something really fun and creative for the youth of Tallahassee this summer. So we're very excited about that. And you can find more info on all our programs on our website, southernshakes.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. And Carrie, I think honestly you said it best when you said we're going to come out on the other side even stronger than ever. And I think all the skills that we kind of have been finding throughout this and really challenging some of those skills and finding new direction, social media, I'm learning film editing in a way I never did before. It's really, I think on the other end, going to make us a better and stronger organization for it. I do want to close out by saying that the other event that we have coming up, we're really excited about. We just got the green light last night. It's Shakespeare Night Live from the Moon on WCTV, June 27th. Up to 8 o'clock, we will be streaming. It'll be live televised comedy sketches with internationally renowned musician Longinus Parsons and the Tribal Disorder Band performing as part of the evening of televised sketches, with the Southern Shakespeare Acting Company, including one of our junior acting company members from Leon High School, Liam Bennett. So we are hugely excited about Shakespeare Night Live coming up on June 27th. So I'll get all that information out to you all as well. But thank you again. I don't know if there's any questions that we're here to answer, or again, you can visit southernshake.org to get more information.
Great, Laura. That's so exciting, all that you're doing. And Shakespeare Night Live, I just love. And what night is that? Is that a Saturday night?
It's a Saturday night, June 27th at 7
and
o'clock.
And this is this similar to what was recently done with TSO?
Exactly, yes. And we've never done anything like this before, and we are all so excited. Robin will be a part of it as well, so you get to see us all on live television.
Good. Well, definitely share the details with us so we can promote it out to everybody. Certainly, we'll want to make sure even through the county channels as well. This is so cool. When I saw TSO, it's live streamed. It's on WCTV.
Yeah.
It is just fabulous, right in your living room. And we've had to adapt. I mean, you've got TSO with a jazz ensemble. It's fabulous, and I'm sure. Shakespeare Night Live is going to be awesome, and again, that's so exciting, and again, we'll certainly do our part to promote it, but thank you for all that Southern Shakespeare, you know, truly does for our community throughout the year, not just with, obviously, the big festival, but really throughout the year. I know you do a lot of stuff with the schools, but just the entire community, so thank you very much, Laura, Robin, thank you so much for all you do, and thank you for joining us on the call today. Again, can't wait for the 27th, so that'll be awesome. So again, thank you very much. Anybody have any questions for Laura or Robin? Anybody? Okay, again, well, thank you. It's awesome, as Kathleen Spear says, when Coco, bravo. So again, really appreciate you all being here. So next and last, and certainly not least, happy to see we have Ricky Bell again, who's here, the director of student activities for Leon County Schools. And I'm going to turn it over to Amanda to say a few words, because I just really cannot say enough about what's been with our organization and particularly the sports team. So, Amanda, I'm going to turn it over to you before Ricky says a few words. Thank you, Terry. Yep, we can hear you. As Gary said, Ricky's a huge partner in anything and everything we've done, even outside of Leon County School. So we gave his time today and his update, but he is, when you think of sports in Leon County, you definitely think of Ricky Bell. So we want to thank you for his support. He did announce that he'll be retiring. We'll see if it really happens this time. And so, you know, that's a big loss for our community. I know that he won't go away and he'll still be part of it. And he's always a phone call away. But Brittany, just want to thank you for your dedication to sports in Leon County and all that you do for Leon County Schools. So thank you very much.
Okay. Can everybody hear me? I don't know if I'm on my phone or on the...
We can hear you.
Okay. I'm looking to look at my phone. Which can you see me the best?
Just look from your computer, Ricky, and then just talk. We'll hear you through the phone.
Okay, how about now?
Yep, we got it. That'll work.
You got me? Okay,
good.
All right. Let's get rolling here. First of all, as far as Leon County Schools is concerned, we have, we've closed our campuses to the public. No camps, no clinics, no anything like that. At this point, we don't know what day we'll open school. We hope we open on August 10th, which is the scheduled date to open, but at this time, we don't know that. Next week, athletics has determined that we're going to return to allowing our fall sports teams to work out with their coach. Of course, with great restrictions, our football, volleyball, band, cross-country, swimming, golf, and cheer will be allowed to return to the school site starting Monday the 15th with great restrictions. You know, now that we're in phase two, we can allow 20 to occupy a space. What could we consider a space is like a weight room or a gym or a field. We can't have any more than that. All of them will be tested with the temperature, no touch temperature before they get in and answer questions, and they have to stay, you know, spaced out in the space, and all of those protocols that we've established for our schools. And so this is going to be something we're going to have to monitor real closely. Also, all of us out here at the district office have been giving work groups to work with and to come up with considerations of what we may need to look at if we do return to school on time. And there are like several options. Number one, if we return 100% every kid back to their school, or if we return as a hybrid, which means half the kids will come to the actual brick and mortar school and the other will do digital learning. Or option three is if we don't return at all. And option four is if we return and then we have a reoccurrence of the pandemic and we have to stop school. So based on those three or four options, we've had to come up with things that we need to consider in athletics, which is my area, of what we need to look at. And number one thing is, what will the events look like? The sporting events look like if we return to school on time. We've come up with several scenarios. Of course, if the kids return 100% to school and we have 2,000 kids in a school, like high school, certainly we should be able to play a sporting event, a volleyball game or a football game. There may be some restrictions. They may have to wear masks. They may have to sit just with their families and keep distance in between them. We may have to spread them out in the stadium. You know, we're not sure what that's going to look like, but these are things that we need to consider. Or will we have no fans, just a game? So all of these things come into play, and we're trying to work through all this the best we can. You know, we're no different than anybody else. You know, we don't know what the next step or the next phase or is going to look like. But we're trying to get things back started. The superintendent wants to open schools on August 10th. Matter of fact, he just sent out an email that we're supposed to send out to our listserv, all the schools, the principals are, because they're doing a survey, because they want to know what parents are thinking about what they want to do if school opens up. Number one, do they want to return to the traditional brick and mortar school like everyone else? Number two, we're offering each school is going to offer a digital learning academy at the school, so parents can choose to, their kid will still be a part of, let's say, Griffin Middle School, but yet they'll learn digitally with a teacher on the same pace as the school, the same classes, but it will be done digitally and not necessarily won't be going to the school. Or they can be part of the Leon County Virtual School Program, which is be all virtual at home, and they'll work at their own pace and their own schedule. And of course, Florida Virtual School is another option for them. So currently right now, the parents are taking this survey so we can plan to see how many kids will actually be returning, how many want to be part of this digital academy, how many will be a part of the Leon County Virtual School Program. So that's where we are in Leon County. Another note, we just got some information this week, and Amanda's privy to this, that the FHSAA has ended their contract with Daytona with the upper division of football classes, which was the 4A, 5A, 6A, 7A, and 8A. And of course, we had the 1A, 2A, 3A hit, which was highly successful. You know, thanks to Amanda and her group, and Terry and her group. The FHSA couldn't brag on us enough about what we did. As a matter of fact, I talked to one of the officials from FHSA last week, and he said, we just wish we could move the Tallahassee people to Central Florida to run all of their events. But we said, no, you got to come to us. Exactly. So anyway, we're having some interesting conversations with them about possibly getting some more of the classifications up here. Hopefully some can travel from a further distance, so they'll stay in more of the hotels during that time, which will be good for everybody. So that's where we are with Leon County Schools. I'm sorry I couldn't get my volume to work right at the beginning, but Amanda worked me through it. You know, I'm a dinosaur when it comes to technology. So if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Anybody have any questions? Ricky, let me ask you. doing with Leon County Schools?
Pardon me, say that one more time.
How long have you been with Leon County Schools?
This is my 44th year in public education.
Wow.
So I've been here long enough.
Well, thank you so much for your leadership and your service and to this community and to the partnership that you've had with our organization. I know Amanda and Joe and just speak, you know, of truly how great partner you've been, and it's really been, I've never seen more evident with, like you said, the FHSAA on what a great basketball championship here. I mean, but I know you work across all of our sports, but bringing, you know, that new business here, those high school football championships, very exciting, like you said, to the entire team and yourself and your team for doing that. And it is exciting to for the potential to see if we can bring some other divisions here. But I think that Leon County and Tallahassee owe you a tremendous debt of gratitude for your leadership and your service, to not just in all the schools with the students, but in the youth sports and working with us. So again, thank you for all you do. We value your partnership. Okay, so with that, I'll open it up. Like I said, I do have a couple of questions that I do want to ask everybody, but I guess before I do that, let me thank again all of our excellent speakers that were with us today. And thank you very, very much for spending time with us. We have, these are our weekly Zoom meetings. So again, want to thank all of our excellent speakers. Thank you for being with us this morning, and again, sharing your insight was tremendously valuable. So thank you very much. So now, as I promised to, I've got two questions that I'd like to ask you all. So if I may, you know, for those of y'all, consider, you know, if you'd unmute your mic, but I really am trying to get kind of, bootleg, probably not the right word, but an attempt to gauge what you all are seeing in the marketplace, in your world, whether you're hotels, events, arts organizations, attractions. Again, what are you seeing in your business and your organization? I have two questions for you. Are you finding this week in your business, has this been better than your last week? In other words, how do you see things progressing? And I'm going to ask you to look ahead a little bit and say, how do you think the next 1 to 3 weeks is going to look? So I'm looking at kind of like a historical, you know, how's last week? Do you see things getting better? And then how do you see things in the next week or two? So let me turn that over to someone and say, what do you see? What's happening in the marketplace? Just trying to gauge things that are activities that are happening in the destination as we're in phase two now. So I'll open it up. Who'd be the brave soul to go first?
I got a quick question for Mr. Ricky first, if we have time for it.
Is he still here? No, he just clicked off, but I did. Sorry. Your question about the field trip, he just called me and I asked him about it.
Yes.
He indicated that right now there's a plan to not have any field trips for the fall, but as you know, that can change.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry. Great. Glad we were able to get that answered. It does make me sad, no field trips, but I understand. So let me ask, if anybody want to be brave soul and kind of just...
I'll be brave soul. This is Greg from Lofty. It's been a strange couple of weeks. For the past 2 weeks, I have seen my sale numbers, the number of people coming in and the number of sales I'm doing the same, but the average dollar total has dropped substantially. Same number of people shopping, but they're spending less money.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Does anybody else?
This is Erica from COCA. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to, I posted in the chat, but I just wanted to let everybody know, so we see a lot of the arts and cultural events come into the calendar, And we also reach out to people to have them put those on the calendar. And that, of course, is shared with Visit Tallahassee. But in the last week, I've seen several music venues beginning to promote their events on patios. And so that's new. I've been keeping a really, you know, a very close watch on that. There's also a couple of our art museums that are beginning to open. Some are opening with reservations. Some have particular guidelines. But we are keeping all of that updated on the calendar as well. But that's just what I'm seeing, beginning with arts venues and starting with some live music.
Great. Appreciate that.
And this is Tracy at the Little English Guest House Bed and Breakfast on Timberlane. Good morning. We are getting lots of inquiries via website and phone calls. Usually for us, this is FSU orientation month. Mm-hmm. So while we get lots of inquiries, we still don't have a lot of guests. And I think that's probably because people are still very nervous about traveling and getting in their cars and going someplace.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Anyone else would like to share what they're seeing in their business and kind of on the horizon or things that are happening currently?
Hi, Carrie. This is Mary at the Tallahassee Auto Museum.
Hi, Mary.
Our business has picked up a lot in the last week. A lot of it is probably because it's been raining and people have been coming to the museum. We also are Harvest Host. Host where people that are traveling RV wise can stay in our yard for free overnight, and that has picked up tremendously. So people are traveling, so they may not be staying in hotels, but they are definitely traveling in their motorhome. So just wanted to say that, and we're glad to see it pick up.
Yep, us too. I do know that some of the hotels that I've spoken to recently and the ones along I-10 are seeing that exactly that. People are moving around more. And so some of the hotels along I-10 are getting a number of walk-ins. So again, that's encouraging to see that people are moving around. Anyone else have anything to share? Again, just kind of wanted to see if we could put our finger to the pulse and what we're seeing. And it does sound like there are some positive signs. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Okay, well, hearing none, again, I want to thank you all. Thank you again for all of our speakers. Laura, I love the line that the show must go online. I think that's awesome. And again, I want to thank all of you all for what you do each and every day for this community, and for all of the citizens here. So again, and the visitors, which will be returning again soon. So again, I want to thank you all very much, for being with us again this morning. Again, we do these every week. Next week, we've got a couple of great speakers that are lined up. We have Kathleen Spihar, the executive director, who I know is typically on these calls. I think she's here. Again, she will be speaking and sure sharing some wonderful information with us next week. And Joseph St. Germain in a return engagement with us to data on consumer travel insights. So what he's seeing around the state, what he's seeing in market here. So again, I have some good insights, the consumer, intelligence to share with what is happening statistically. And again, insight we all can use. So again, I want to thank you all so much for being with us this morning. I will open up one last time. Any comments for the good of the order today? Okay, well, hearing none again, continue to be safe. Wear your mask. It's not too much to mask. Anytime you're out in public, keep focusing on the future. Again, be smart, be safe, and be kind, and we'll see you next week. So thank you all for being with us.